This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. This has been, as you've been hearing today, a tragic 24 hours in the Mediterranean Sea. There is no final count yet of exactly how many people drowned in yesterday's sinking of that migrant ship, and there were at least two other rescues going on over there today. What is clear is that there's no let-up in sight for people trying to get out of where they are, and also no clear answer from the European Union as to what they might do about it. Chris Morris is the BBC's European correspondent. We got him in Brussels, Belgium today. Chris, it's good to speak with you.
Thanks very much.
We are hearing, it seems, more and more of these incidents of unseaworthy ships, of hundreds of people dying. Why do you suppose that is?
I think that it's a problem that's been building for years, and the numbers have continued to rise, partly because of chronic instability in parts of the Middle East, in Libya, in Syria, and the economic opportunity that many others have. They're not all political refugees. Many of them are economic migrants. Right. And so it's hardly surprising that people are willing to take grave risks to try and get a better life for themselves and their families. And the political response so far has simply been inadequate. Will this now be a tipping point? It might be, but I think the response is going to have to be a response which unfolds over a period of years, if not decades, rather than days and weeks.
The European operation, such as it is right now, does seem to be more of a policing operation than it is a humanitarian rescue operation. Do you suppose that'll change with this weekend's events? Is the mindset going to change?
I think some things will change. How much is tough to say. For example, one thing that's being proposed now by the European Commission is to double the funding for search and rescue operations and recovery operations of boats that get into trouble. A year ago, that figure was three times higher than it was now. So even if you double it, it's still going to be lower than it was a year ago. So there's still, I think, a huge question mark about whether European countries can cope with the tide of people that's still going to come. The other thing they've said they're going to do, and we've heard this again from many leaders today, is really focus on cracking down on the smuggling gangs who are at the heart of many of these networks. But I think there's also a problem with that, and that is this, that even if you took out all of the smuggling networks, you wouldn't take away the demand of those tens and hundreds of thousands of people who are trying to reach Europe. The smugglers, however venal they are responding to that demand.
The irony of the southern Italian states being left alone in some ways to deal with this by the rest of the European Union is that a lot of these migrants, they want to get to Germany. They want to get to France. They want to get to the places where the jobs are.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they arrive in those southern countries, but they want to move north. I mean, the countries which receive the most migrants and asylum applications every year, I think, are roughly in order of the top four: Germany, France, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. But you're right, that's where the jobs are. That's where many of the opportunities are. London, in particular, yeah, is a magnet because it's, I guess, Europe's genuinely international city. It's a place where many people from many countries have friends or relatives or somebody from the village who've said, if you manage to get here, I'll give you a place where you can kip on the floor and my cousin will give you a job in his bakery. Those right. kind of stories I've heard time and again covering these migration patterns over the last couple of years. And so people will continue to keep coming. And that's why the other part of this strategy is to have much greater cooperation with countries of origin and transit, the countries in sub-Saharan Africa where many of these people are coming from, but also the countries where migrant boats are setting sail from. So these are very dangerous and very volatile times.
The emergency meeting in Luxembourg on Thursday between European Union ministers, what, if anything, do you actually expect to come out of that?
Well, the meeting on Thursday is actually going to be not ministers, but European Union leaders. And mm-hmm. I think it's a sign, the fact that heads of government are going to take the time to come together to discuss one specific issue. I think the message is that the size of the problem now, it means that it can no longer be avoided. You can no longer pass the buck and point the finger of blame somewhere else. The EU's foreign policy chief, Federica Mogherini, said this morning, this is a union, the European Union, based on values of human rights and human dignity, and it's simply unacceptable for us in the 21st century to continue turning a blind eye.
The BBC's Chris Morris, the European correspondent for them. We got him in Brussels. Chris, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Greece, as Chris and I touched on, is on the front lines of this disaster and of its own internal economic drama as well. There is going to be yet another meeting this week geared to yet more conversations about bailouts and paybacks. Stay tuned is about the best thing to say about that.